Let's go to, we've got two versions of this story. I think we're going to read the Mark 9 version. So Mark 9, verse 14. Matthew 1's actually just a little bit different. I mean, it's not different, but it just includes different details that this one doesn't. Might try to combine the two. But we get to talk about something pretty exciting today. You know, we're just teaching through Scripture, so it's kind of up to the order the Bible's in about what we talk about. But today we get to talk about faith. You know, we get to talk about something that's just so powerful and it's so shaky. It can be so all over the place, but just it's just everything in our walk. So we get to have kind of a really relatable lesson today. This is that story where last week I talked about the Transfiguration, and you remember he went up to the top of this mountain, Jesus did, with Peter and James and John. So they're gone for a little bit. And while they're up there doing that great thing, the other disciples are still down at the bottom of the mountain. And this is what Jesus comes back to. So he comes off this really high, intense moment with God and speaking with Moses and Elijah and just this glorious moment. And he comes back down to reality here. And so Mark 9:14 says, "And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and the scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, 'What are you arguing about with them?' And someone from the crowd answered him, 'Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able.' And he answered them, 'O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me.' And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood, and it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' And Jesus said to him, 'If you can, all things are possible for one who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, 'I believe, help me with my unbelief.' And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to him, 'You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again.' And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' And he said to them, 'This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer.'" Okay, really intense story. You know, you think through a story like this, and I just wanted to remind you guys the situation the disciples are in, okay? These disciples, earlier in their lives, had already been commissioned, remember, by Jesus to go out and heal the sick and to cast out demons. They've already been told they could do that. So they had the power to do it, and they had the command to do it. Those are two real key essentials if you're going to go do something. You know, we can't just be people who just go decide what we're going to do. We have to rely on God for what he commands us to do. We have to rely on his power. We have to source from him. But these guys already had the source. They had the power, and they had the commandment to go do it. And they had actually already done it. Remember, they came back, and they reported, and they said, you know, we're amazed at what's happening, and, you know, they saw these things happening in their lives. And so it's just such a weird situation here where they come back, and then all of a sudden they can't do this. And then you throw in the fact that Jesus is disappointed in them, you know, about that. He's just, "Oh, faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." There's that disappointment thrown in here. And really, it seems like a pretty terrible situation. I think we could all just relate to this so much, you know, that we, just that failure in faith that we have in times of our life where, you know, where for whatever reason, it's just not happening. And obviously, okay, before I teach about any of this, I just got to say, if there's a situation in our life that's similar to this, if I'm praying for Joe and I'm praying for whatever, healing for Job or something, okay? And it's not happening. There could be several reasons why. It's not always just faith, you know? I mean, there's just such a mix, and how God works is beyond us, and it could be my faith or his faith, or it might be God's will. It might be, you know, there's all kinds of situations, and we just can't have these automatics where it's just as easy as that. It's always God's will. I always pray the prayer just like this, and then it always happens this way. I can't have that automatic. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus healed, you know, how many people? And he seemed to do each one differently, okay? And he made such a big deal about how he's always sourcing from the Father and how he could do nothing apart from him. But so before I say anything, it's not just always faith. I don't want you to come out of this lesson thinking, oh, it's always just my weak faith why this situation isn't happening, okay? We got to stop and really just rethink this thing and really seek God, discern, listen to him. God, what's the situation here? Is it my faith? I want to humble myself before you. Is my faith wrong or in the wrong thing, or is it weak? Or also, is it something else going on? Is it your will to delay? So a lot of things. But the situation we have here, let's just kind of rethink about it. Like I said, Jesus is up on the mountain, okay? He's got his three, what we call his closest disciples with him. And so the other nine are down here, and they'd seen these things before. They had confidence and maybe even a little pride, you know, because it'd been happening. I don't know. We can't say that for sure. But then you throw in this. They have a huge, crazy crowd, you know, this time. They're not just going to someone's house and praying for someone and seeing the sick healed, okay? They're in front of a crowd that could do no, you know, who knows what. You know, they're just... And there's no faith in this crowd. This crowd's looking to be entertained. You know, they're looking for entertainment. They're not really coming in all agreeing by faith. This isn't a huge faith-filled situation. The scribes are there, and they're just waiting for a situation to mock these guys. You know, they're waiting. They're right there waiting to say the first time something doesn't happen, see, God's not real. See Jesus isn't who he says he is. He's not the Son of God. They're looking. And then we have this kid's father, and the father, you know, he says that great phrase, you know, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. That's such a great, great cry. It should be a cry in all of us, you know, help me with the areas where I don't believe. But still, he's admitting, I really am struggling with believing here. And so there's this huge unbelieving situation, and now the disciples are put in this situation where they're not with Jesus, okay? That Jesus is away for a little bit, and they're kind of on their own, and they have this all this pressure on them, okay? Maybe we can relate to this, you know, where it's one thing to do what God's telling us to do and to see awesome things happen when we're by ourselves or with a safe group of Christians, but we're in the crowd or out, you know, with lost people or out in the middle of a situation where all the pressure seems to be on me, there's so much room to doubt all of a sudden, right? Because now I got to think, like, what if God doesn't show up here, you know? There's so much pressure. Am I going to let God down? What if he doesn't heal? There's just, doubt can just creep in so much when you're in a situation like this. What's happening here? Is their eyes are shifting? Jesus calls this the faithless generation, and he says, he flat out says it's because of their faith, and I think in the Matthew one, maybe not this one, he says, oh, you have little faith. I looked up how many times he said, oh, you have little faith, and I think it was like four times that I found. It might be more, but every time he said that phrase, oh, you have little faith, it always had to do when there's this situation where they're kind of believing, but then an outside situation kind of happened. It's like the times when Jesus is trying to give them a parable about bread, and all of a sudden they hear it wrong and they're worried because someone forgot to bring the bread. And, you know, there's a little bit of fear and worry that comes in. Or it's the time when, the time when Peter is walking on water. And remember, he's walking on water and he takes those first couple steps, and then all of a sudden, He doubts because of the winds and the waves. And then there's that other time when they're on the boat and they're trusting and they're at peace, that all of a sudden the storm comes, and then all of a sudden it's they start freaking out and just worrying about what's going to happen, and they have this you know, this, oh, you have little faith situation. So I started looking at this, and I'm trying to think through, and what I see happening here is, one thing I got to think through is he says, if you have faith of a mustard seed. He says that phrase, and that's so important, because when he says little faith, and that's actually the right word. I looked up the Greek word on that. Little faith is actually the right word, but I don't think he means little as in size, okay? I don't think he means your faith is small, okay? I don't think he means that you just have a little bit of faith, because he says if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains, right? And anything will be possible for you. I don't think it's so much about the size of the faith. I think it's more about the endurance of the faith. Because when he said, oh, you have little faith, all these other times, it's where they seemed to have faith, and they had the appearance of faith, but when a situation came that caused them to doubt, they went along with that, and they doubted. And I think, oh, you have little faith has more to do with how long the faith lasts, okay? And so it's the same thing here. They seem to have faith, but their faith failed for a reason, which we'll get to. But their faith obviously didn't last. When all of a sudden that pressure of the crowd comes, and that pressure of not letting God down, or maybe failing themselves, and or whatever else they're thinking, when that comes, their faith failed. And that's why Jesus was disappointed. I don't think he was disappointed about their amount of faith. I think it was just disappointed that they gave up on their faith so quickly instead of seeing this deal through. There's such a key, just true faith is just shown, I think, so much by the endurance of it. I was thinking through, and I just know we can all relate to this, how we want something, and most likely God probably does too, but so quickly, you know, two or three times we pray, and we're so quick to say, this isn't happening, you know, God, where are you, why isn't this happening, you know, and we just have such small vision compared to God and what he's doing. And so I just want you to think through that, the power of enduring prayer. I've heard stories of guys who send missionaries out, and what they do is they send to hurting people, and they'll say, you go, and you don't just go pray once and then come back. You go and you stay there until you see breakthrough in these people's lives. And sometimes these guys will stay for weeks at a time away from their family, on mission, until they see breakthrough, okay? And I think there's something in that where we have to have that same mentality. And then it gets so weird, too, because then we're like, why does God do that? Why would God, you know, put me in this weird situation? Why doesn't he just answer it the first time? It's so easy to question that. But if we just stopped and thought about it for a second, there's two really easy answers. One is obviously, just like working out, or running, or any other thing, you know, if I do it to the best of my ability once, but then if I'm put in a situation where I have to go farther, do more, my faith grows, okay, and my endurance grows, okay, so if I'm put in a situation like that, my faith grows, but I think more importantly is, it's just that God is pleased. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God, okay, so if that's true, then the opposite of that's going to be true as well. If without faith it's impossible to please God, then I'm probably going to think that the only way I can truly please God is with faith, okay? And so if God the Father is looking down at the situation and he says, what do you think he's going to be most glorified in if he's pleased with my faith? If I just pray for Joe once and see a quick healing and get out of there, you know, and just go to the next thing, if I trust God so much that I can go and pray for Joe, and pray for Joe again, and pray for Joe again, and years down the road, continue to be faithful, pray for him, and eventually see breakthrough, even if that's at the end of my life or his life, okay? What do you think God is more pleased with if he takes pleasure in faith, okay? I just think he delights in it, and that should be reason enough. There's tons of other great things that happen in these long, enduring times. We grow so much in long, enduring times where we have to trust God over and over and over. My time went really quick. Let's just think of it like this. You guys can sit down. How you doing? I don't want to just make this, you know, about healing, okay? Let's just sum it up like this. This is a great story about healing. There's so much good that I can draw from it about specifically healing, okay? But the bigger deal, the main theme of this is faith. The main theme isn't healing, okay? And so if I want to take a lesson about faith out of this, let's stop and apply it. You know, if this is all true, then there's things in life that we could have the command and we could have the power to do. So God's given me power to do something, and he's commissioned me, and he said, Levi, go do this. And there's going to be things in my life that aren't happening as God commissioned because of my faith, okay? There's some things in my life that are like that. This story proves that to be true. And if that's true, then I would encourage you guys to all take a little time. I always say this. I hope you guys do this. Take a little time. Make this story relatable to you. What things in your life has God given you commission to do, and he's even given you the power to do, but you failed on because you gave up quickly? Okay? That's me. That's you. I guarantee every one of us in this room has a situation like this where we gave up too quickly because our faith got distracted, okay? And it's just so true. Our faith can get distracted in so many things. I've had times in my life where my faith just flat out failed, okay? Where I just didn't believe God would do it, okay? But I've also had times where I had a great amount of faith, but sometimes my faith was in myself. It wasn't even looking at God. I think that's probably what happened here with these guys. That's why they failed. Their faith shifted from being on God and seeing healings, and all of a sudden it's on themselves because they're in a crowd, okay? And there's pressure. Their faith looks at themselves, what if I fail? Of course nothing's going to happen. They're not sourcing from God. Jesus he couldn't even do anything apart from the Father, okay? So my faith's been great, but it's been in myself. My faith's been in others, okay? It's been in, well, you know, Tony, he's got really great faith, and he prayed for me, you know? Then I've done stuff like that. It's in the people around me. It's in what someone said, even if what they said is completely not true. It's in, well, this person, Sean, he's wise, and, you know, he's been around, and he told me this, and my faith is in Sean, okay? It's so easy to shift our faith. My faith has even been in my own faith, okay? Where maybe I pray for Becky, and but I'm instead thinking God is just good and merciful, and he's going to give grace, and he's given me a command, and I really hear his word and see that he wants to do this in her life. Instead of doing that, I'm thinking, I've seen this happen a million times. My faith is really strong. You know, if I pray for her, this is going to happen. You see what my faith is in? My faith is in my own faith. Isn't that weird? And so it's just so worthwhile. Every single situation, I think every situation, to not just automatically be doing something, to stop and to listen, and to get into hear, and remember that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, okay? And just regroup. We have that ability. We have the Holy Spirit in us speaking, and we have word, and we have so much. We can just stop and regroup. God, what are you saying here? Is my faith in you? Is my faith in what you did on the cross? In that alone? Can I move out and do mission because my faith is based right? Okay? Stop and regroup. And think through that, since I'm out of time. I had like 3 more pages. Maybe we'll do a second part next week. I think we can all relate to that, you know. That's where we have to go back to, where it's just him, you know. And amen. That was, man, I wanted to say so much more. Father, just pray for that for each of us, Lord. We're just like this, Lord. Help us. Help us with our unbelief. We do believe. Help us with our unbelief. Lord, help us where our faith is weak or also focused wrong. I pray that you would draw us back to faith, just like Joe said, just where we throw ourselves on your mercy and your grace, and we're focused completely on what your Son did for us. I pray you'd just bring us back to that, Lord. I pray that you would recall to our minds the things that you've commissioned us to do that we gave up on too quickly. I pray, Lord, that you'd remind us of areas where we haven't seen breakthrough, where you desire it. And I pray that you would give us faith again, and faith that endures, Lord. Help our faith to endure, Lord, as long as it takes. In Jesus' name, amen.